Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us in person, even though there's an atmospheric river coming. But we'll get home before that. And online. We're so glad that you're with us. Please stand for our opening hymns.
Any children or youth that are in the congregation that would like to come up on the steps and join us today. I think we're going to be a small group, but we have some fun things planned. So we are talking, do you remember what we're talking about, Annalie? We're talking about food in children's church. We talked about shelter during the fall, and now we're talking about food. We're talking about all the things that we need to have life. Come on up here, Bonnie. I can't reach the microphone way down there. Do you want to sit over on this side? Perfect. So I'm going to ask you both a question. Think about if you can remember. What did you have for dinner last night? What did you have for dinner? I'll start first. I had chicken ramen. I love soup, especially if it's cold or rainy outside. So I had chicken ramen. Do you remember what you had for dinner last night? What'd you
have? Broccoli cheddar soup.
Oh, you had soup too. Broccoli cheddar soup. That sounds so good right now. Bonnie, do you remember what you had for dinner last night?
Chicken.
Perfect. That is great. We're so lucky because when we're hungry, we probably just walk into our kitchens, open up the pantry, open up the fridge, and get whatever food we want, right? Whatever our parents say that we're allowed to eat. We are talking about food because in food, God shows God's creativity and God's abundance and God's love because there's so many different kinds of food and our mouth can taste so many different kinds of things. But we're also mindful that not everybody has a pantry filled with food or a refrigerator with as much as they want. And those people are hungry. And so we're talking about how we can be a part of God's work in making sure that everybody has food. And then in February, we have something called Black History Month. And at our church, we do something called Soul Food Sunday, where we get to have a day of worship and celebration and food that is celebrating the black, our black friends and our in the black community in this country. And so we think about food and all of its richness in our community and in our world, and we're really thankful for that. So that's what we'll be talking about today in Children's Church. Next week, we will have our youth group, and our youth group will be studying. We have a group of folks that are going to be going through the confirmation process. So if you are at home and you have a youth that is in grades 6 through 12, I invite you to come to church next week as we start our confirmation classes for our youth group members. Okay, let's pray, and then before we go to Children's Church, we're going to go back to our seats, because you know what? Do you see this up here? What's that?
What is that?
We just talked about it earlier. Remember when we were playing I Spy, and I said I Spy a?
Baptism.
A baptism, that's right. It is a shell that is recognizing a baptism that we're going to have. So I'm really excited because we get to baptize a new member of our family. Okay, so let's pray and then we'll go and sit down again. God, Creator, thank you for the way you provide for us. Thank you for shelter and thank you for food and thank you for its complexity and its richness and what it means to our cultures and how we can share our culture as we share our food with one another. Help us to be a people that is mindful of our neighbors who do not have enough food and do not have enough to eat and are hungry, and find ways to support and help and supply what we have in abundance to those who have a need. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's go have a seat.
I'd like to invite Piper to bring up her parents and godparents. I had the honor and privilege of marrying Regan and Erica 2018. It was pre-pandemic, who knows. So I'm gonna have the godparents go on that side with Pastor Bridie. And so we're so glad to be baptizing Piper this morning.
Let's take one step back.
Pastor Bridie has some questions for you.
I do. Welcome and welcome, Piper. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? We do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Piper and Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and to profess their faith openly and to lead a Christian life? All right.
Let us pray. Loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Amen. Come here, Piper. Oh, precious girl, precious girl. Piper, the congregation has to see you. But the water's okay. We're going to do it this way. Piper Claire, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be God's faithful disciple. Amen. Will you all welcome Piper Claire into our family of faith? I like walking up here, but then when I walk back, I know I have to give you back. So, okay. Yep. It's okay, we're pausing for a photo op. All right. There you go, sweet pea. Oh, okay. It's okay. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we're grateful to you for Piper, Claire, for Regan, and Erica and their entire family. We pray your spirit to be upon them this day and always in the name of the Christ. Amen. And will you now stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ? May the peace of Christ be with you.
What a wonderful baptism, and what a wonderful way for us to open our prayer time together. The peace of the Lord be with you. And I'm just going to invite you to look back at our balcony and our camera. We have so many people worshiping from home today and traveling abroad. We miss you. Peace be with you. We're so glad you're here. And all our friends who help make our service so wonderful upstairs, we thank you. I invite you now to take a deep breath. In this wonderful sermon series, we have been reminded of the power of breathing. So I invite you now to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and allow our wonderful choir to take us into our prayer time together. Holy One, so much is happening in the world around us, In the whirlwind of life, some days we cannot catch our breath. It is easy to feel small in the face of the greatness you have created, and sometimes we wonder, what do we have to offer? You are so great. Who are we in the scope of the world and your work? In those moments when we are unsure, when the world seems too large and our offerings too small, pour your Holy Spirit over us to remind us that we too are yours. Breathe spirit into these dry bones. Grant us your mercy and your kindness. Allow your love to heal us in our broken places. Release your breath over the face of the world so that all places that hunger, that war, that weep, you will be known, and your consolation may bring peace and recovery. May we be the instrument of your peace, ever mindful that you have created us with purpose, that we are yours and we have much to offer. You have made these bones, once dry, dance, and may they dance for you. Be with our community this week as we have sustained a great loss. We mourn for our dear sister, Suzanne. She was a powerful light to many, and we are grateful for all that she shared with the world. And God, we grieve her passing. Be with her family and friends. Lift them up to you during this time of disbelief and mourning. Welcome her home to your glory, to rest and eternal life, and bring this community solace. Be with Art and bring him healing. Accompany Eric in his recovery and bring him the stability and clarity that he seeks. Guide Isaac's moms through this next stage in her life. Bring healing to Carl, and we are grateful for the good news regarding his treatment. Thank you for the powerful way you move in our lives, and the love, joy, and possibility that you bring to us daily. You are amazing. There are many joys and concerns that linger on our hearts and minds, and so those of us gathered here now enter into a time of silent prayer to offer them to you. Creator, you have made the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that lives and breathes on this planet. We know that all things are possible with you, and we offer you these prayers with the confidence of Christians who have found their salvation in the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we have prayed. Amen.
Good Sunday morning, church family. I was going to share one of our church family members posted on Instagram something about January, saying, January's been a long year, but we made it. And I know a lot of us feel that way, so thank you for being here today. As we start February, Lent very soon, let's quickly, if you would, get out your phone and check in. This is the time that, you could take pictures anytime, but this is the real time that phones are allowed. But let's check in, put your name in there, and if you have any prayer requests to share with us, please drop them in the little area that says prayer requests. We get those every week and we pray over them, so share those with us as you feel the need. I wanted to share yesterday because I built a house. There we are. There's a couple of us that went and worked with Habitat for Humanity yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. I see Hannah here. Everybody else must be hurting. They gave me a hammer and nails and some metal things, and they were like, go do that. And we all kind of looked at each other like, okay. We secured a second floor for a house. So if the new owners have a squeaky floor, I guess it's going to be my fault. So, but it was a lot of fun. So the next time we get to the opportunity to work with Habitat, feel free to sign up and join us. We had a great time, and they feed you lunch, and it was delicious. Okay, right after church today, in the parlor, we are doing a free vaccination clinic. So if you know people that need a boost when it comes to flu or COVID, we have that happening. It's going to be through the parlor and into the chapel from 12 to 3 today. So that'll be happening right after church. Also, I just got this handed to me, and I don't have a slide for it, but the UWF, the United Women's in United, I can never say that right, United Women in Faith, there we go, starting a book club. So we're going to have these books available if you're interested to look over them in the parlor right after church. And Deb is here, and you can talk to her a little bit more about that as well. Also, we are doing Food on Foot next Sunday. Hopefully it won't be raining. But we'll be outside for a couple hours at the LGBT Center in the parking lot working with Food on Foot. So please, if you can, sign up for that. The QR code is right there. They're also on all the welcome tables if you want to get it after the church service. And then two other reminders. Lent, believe it or not, begins next Wednesday. So we're going to have an Ash Wednesday service here. It starts with a 6 p.m. soup supper in Grant Hall, and then a 7 p.m. worship service in the sanctuary with ashes imposed. So if you can be here for that, please do. And then Kevin already mentioned it in the kids segment, but we have Soul Food Sunday coming. And it's a great celebration and a time that we get together and celebrate Black excellence and history. And there's these little cards on all the welcome tables, and you grab a few, invite some friends. We're going to have a delicious Southern lunch after church in the gym, and you can RSVP with that QR code. We just need to know how many people are coming for lunch. So please do that if you are coming. All that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers and your presence and your service and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up the QR code for electronic giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God."
This morning we continue our Epiphany sermon series entitled Breathe, in which we're learning how to breathe and relearning how to breathe. So I invite you to take a deep breath. Breathe in truth. Refresh your spirit with God's loving words of affirmation. Breathe out prayer. Release your stress with calming, breath-oriented prayers. And breathe deeply of God's love and mercy, and discover why every breath can be an invitation to peace. Today we are focusing on breathing and living based on Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. But before we go there, I want to address our collective grief at Suzanne Dodd's passing this week. Those of us who knew her are hurting and in disbelief that she is gone so suddenly. For me, that means I had many false starts in my sermon writing this week. And then all day Thursday, I just sat at my computer, and every time I tried to write, I would cry and I would pray, "God, how in the world do you expect me to preach about your spirit coming upon dry bones to rise up again the same week her soul has left our beloved friend's body?" We are grief-stricken, and we are in mourning. But God said yes. So here goes. Ezekiel was a prophet and a priest. His ministry began before the conquest of Judah in 587 BC and continued as the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. This is the same exile I preached on a couple of weeks ago. This book is the foundation for both Jewish and Christian apocalyptic literature, such as the Revelation to John. In his writings, the prophet's message to the exiles is clear. He assures the hearers of God's abiding presence among them, and he emphasizes God's involvement in the events of the day so that Israel and all the nations will know that I am the Lord. To a dispersed and a discouraged people, he brings a message of hope, hope that God will restore them to their homeland and to the temple. So it is in that context that Ezekiel's vision goes like this, and it is a vision, it is not a historical narrative. It's a vision. The prophet is brought to a valley, to a low place filled with bones. I think of the, for those of you who have seen the 90s version of The Lion King, do you remember when they're looking at the valley of all of the elephant graveyards, all of those bones? That's kind of what I imagine. Acres and acres of land filled with bones of generations past. An abundance of dry bones are lying in the valley, representing the people in exile. After surveying the valley of the dry bones, the Holy One asked the mortal, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And the mortal, probably not knowing what to say, answers, "Oh Lord, you know." The mortal just doesn't know how to respond, only that the vision is of bones that are dry and hopeless. They are weary people in a foreign land. But God does not leave them as dry bones. The Holy One tells the mortal, "Prophesy to those bones and say to them the word of the Lord. Tell them that God will and shall bring forth restoration." And then we see how. God breathes into these bones, covers them with skin, and places flesh on them. God revives them and they become alive again. God will take the dry bones and create a new future, a future with God's Spirit within, a future in the land of Israel. But notice, God does not cover them with skin and flesh first. No, God breathes life, God's Spirit, into these bones first, and then comes the sinews and the skin. 10 times God promises to do something about the dry bones, beginning with, "I will cause breath to enter you." 10 times in this passage, God promises life and wholeness. 10 times God promises return and homecoming. 10 times God promises that the dry bones of this valley are not our final reality. Throughout those 10 promises, at the beginning, the middle, and the end, God says, "And you shall live." "You shall live" is the river of reassurance that runs through this valley of dry bones. Those were surely words of comfort for exiles of the day. They are also words of comfort for those who are living in the valley of the dry bones today, in despair, some in exile, in the same location of our globe. Think of the children in Gaza, not understanding why they no longer have a home and many times no longer have parents. This is their valley of the dry bones. Think of the Israeli hostages who remain captive and their families. This is their valley of the dry bones. Think of the families of the American service members injured or killed in Jordan last week. This is their valley of the dry bones. Originally, I thought I might talk about our national political landscape as its own sort of valley of the dry bones, but we'll leave that for another day. "You shall live" is the river of reassurance that flows through the valley of dry bones for those that we have just named and for each of us. Many of us are in our own valleys of one kind or another. We need to hear again the good news that God loves us, that God will restore us and bring us to fullness of life and love. This is the reassurance that we walk in this valley in which God promises to breathe life anew into each of us. Let us join Reverend Jefferson in our breathing meditation for this morning.
Let us remember that there is one presence for good in the universe, and that presence is Spirit God made manifest through each and every one of us. As we go forward in life, and as we breathe, let us remember that whatever it is that we are experiencing in life, God is there for us, leading us forward at each and every moment. So I want to invite you to turn within, close your eyes if that's comfortable for you, and allow your breath to carry you forward as you experience God speaking to you in each and every moment. breathing in, breathing out. In the breath, we touch the present moment. Keep bringing your awareness back to your breath, resting within the divine breath of God. Open your eyes if they've been closed and return your awareness to this physical space. Let us continue to breathe freely throughout the coming week.
The great Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann once wrote that the people of God are a people of the second wind, the recovery of breath after the loss of breath. The God who gave the first breath in Genesis is the God who gives a second wind to those who are willing and able to inhale the goodness of God that yields courage, stamina, and steadfastness. Now, at a macro level, we saw a secular example of that this week in a tweet by Elmo from Sesame Street. Last Monday, he posted an innocent tweet on X that simply said, "Elmo is just checking in. How is everybody doing?" Well, that tweet has received over 200 million views on social media. And the response was overwhelming. There were plenty of people who said, "Thanks, doing great," or "Have a good day." But NPR reported that on X, people aired litanies of personal and relationship problems and more general angst. They spoke about being tired, broke, and unsure how to improve things, and feeling disconnected from others. In other words, they shared their own stories of their life in the valley of the dry bones. Hear the rest of Brueggemann's comments on the second wind and the promise of restoration. He writes, "A second wind permits those denied breath to stand up again. That is, those in exile might receive homecoming. Now it is the work of the faithful," and by that, the faithful, he means you and me, "to create policies and practices, institutions, and a culture in which those who are deprived of breath can live again and stand on their feet." That is our charge from Ezekiel's vision, to create practices and a culture in which the deprived of breath can live, to check in with one another to make sure we are hearing God say to us, "Even if you are in the valley of the dry bones, you shall live." And if you are in that other valley we know so well, that many of us have lived in the past week, God has words of comfort for you as well. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Suzanne walked through both of those valleys this week. And for many of us, it was our honor and privilege to travel alongside of her. When a group of us went on Sunday to visit, and we stood around her bed, holding hands, preparing to pray over her, she wasn't rousing. But all of a sudden, she did, as Bishop Swenson began to pray. And she flashed that famous Suzanne smile at us. The ways in which many of you have cared for Suzanne and for one another in this unbelievably short time, that's what it means to create a culture in which the deprived of breath can live and stand on their feet. And for years, Suzanne did that for us as well. Whether it was ushering, or helping out in the kitchen, or being somewhat of a contrarian panelist on Sunday mornings with Rance Collins, or being the grounding center of her small group, Suzanne claimed God's spirit in her life and modeled for us the way to see blessings and be positive, even when we are figuratively and literally standing in the bottom of the valley. So family, as we prepare to gather around the table, the table of love and remembrance and of hope. May we begin to celebrate Suzanne's life this day, knowing that she has left great shoes for us to fill on this earth. May we claim the vision of Ezekiel that God's breath, God's spirit will give us a second wind at any point in our life so that we might truly breathe and live. And may we continue to create a community, a culture in which we check in with each other so that all know that they can claim their place here as a beloved child of God. Amen. So Pastor Bridey has gone to actually put grape juice into the cups. Suzanne is laughing right now, I guarantee it. Thank you, precious. All right. Thank you. It was on the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he gathers his disciples together in the upper room. And it was there that Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, all of you, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When all had eaten their fill, he took the wine and he poured it out and he offered thanks for it. And he offered it to each of his disciples in turn, saying, "Take, drink, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me."
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts of bread and wine. We pray that you will pour out your spirit upon them so that they might be your body and blood given for us. For all of the ways in which you bless us, we give you thanks and praise in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we pray now the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you.
Salvation poured over you. The cup of salvation.
The cup is grape juice. There are gluten-free crackers on down here if you would like to receive that as well. And also, if you're not comfortable with intinction, dipping, you're welcome to take a little juice cup. The table is set. You don't have to be a United Methodist, a member of this church, or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. So now that the table is set, let us come. The ushers will guide you.
Thank you.
a day or a time for Suzanne's services. I'm speaking with the family tomorrow, and we'll inform you all as we go forward. February 14th is Ash Wednesday. Yes, it's something else too, but it's Ash Wednesday. That's all you all need to remember. But I'm making my soup. I need help chopping vegetables at noon. Dan and I have a division of duties. Dan Cox will be doing bread, and I will be doing soup. But I need help in chopping. So if you can come at noon on Ash Wednesday and then come back in the evening to eat soup, it's vegan. It just is. It's vegetarian, vegan. So come and help me. Please send me an email and let me know you can. And everything is in the parlor today because we thought it was going to be pouring. So go now, knowing that whatever valley you might find yourself in, God is there to say, you are mine. I love you and I breathe life into you. So go forth knowing that we all shall live. Go in peace. Amen.